Hey folks, welcome to the East Texas News Roundup, our pre-Halloween edition. I'm here with Jason Klompik in Trinity County.
Hello.
Hey Jason. Right around the corner, Jacob McAdams from San Jacinto County.
Hello everyone.
And Megan Whitworth with Houston County.
Good evening, East Texas.
And just before we went on air, they're all threatening to change their names because I look straight at them and call them the wrong name. Just like they're my kids, our grandkids. Let's get into the news. Anything spooky happening on your side of the lake, Jacob?
Close, but that only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. But yeah. Okay, we just had the first weekend of the Haunted Jail Museum at the Cold Spring
Jail. The old Cold Spring Jail, who people from my generation, the 1980s, had probably visited as a customer when it was in use.
Correct. Yeah. Basically, their first weekend went pretty well. Friday was a little light because of the rain, because the rain has to ruin everything for everyone. But they said Saturday they had nothing but people. They said they never had a chance to stop and take a break within the hours that they were open. Mm-hmm. And that's going to continue again this weekend. Friday and Saturday starts at 6:30. We also have this Friday, we have the trick-or-treating around the square. So kids there are going to be able to go around the different shops. They're going to be able to go into the courthouse and basically get an early trick-or-treating event of sorts. And there is a scavenger hunt going on with the Cold Spring Area Business and Merchants Association. It ends Friday.
So what kind of things do I have to come hunt for?
Basically, what it does.
Any double-headed rattlesnakes or anything like
that? Not quite. What it is, honestly, that would be really freaky for a lot of people. Double-headed rattlesnake. I know someone who would like literally take off running if he saw that.
Well, I would take off running if I saw one, but there used to be one when in the ancient 1970s in Langtree, Texas, where Judge Roy Bean's office was, they had a little roadside place with all kinds of weird attractions. It's kind of one of those places that has the largest bowl of twine and a two-headed goat. And
Like circus freak attraction freak type stuff.
But it was all animals.
Okay, I gotcha. Oh, so it's like Ripley's Believe It or Not then.
Yeah, okay. A low-budget Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah,
I gotcha. Flea market style Ripley's Believe It or Not, but...
But no, what it is that it's how well you know Cold Spring. And so what you do is, it's sort of like that little contest we did here at our meeting where you had to match the things to different things. So on the left side column, you have different places around Cold Spring. And it's just Cold Spring. It's not the rest of San Jacinto County. Mm-hmm. And on the right-hand column, you have items like, basically, it's a descriptive item. For instance, on the left side, you might have San Jacinto County Courthouse. Mm-hmm. And on the right, you might have an item that says veteran memorials, because there are memorials up front. Yeah. I don't think there is that on the list, but that's just the best example I could come up with.
And which, by the way, since Veterans Day is right around the corner, if you've never been anybody in our whole area, the San Jacinto County Veteran Service Officer Dale Everett has a fantastic exhibit down in the basement of the courthouse talking about all kinds of local veterans and some famous veterans. I know there's one person in particular that people always tell Dale they never realized he was in the service.
Yes, he has that in the basement of the San Jacinto County Courthouse. He's hundreds of photos. And there's lots of stuff too. It's not even just the county or even just...
No, but it's highly motivational. Mm-hmm. It's women who broke through barriers. It's got people of color. It's got famous people. George H.W. Bush. Mm-hmm. He's got some photos of him from his time in the military.
You think he's got Elvis in there too?
Elvis and all kinds of folks.
He's also got... It's kind of funny I bring it up, but I'll say he has different cartoon characters down there like Mickey Mouse and all them. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that Warner Brothers and Disney, when they were doing cartoons at the time, a lot of them were war propaganda cartoons.
Right. He's got a lot of stuff about...
Yes.
Loose lips sink ships kind of stuff.
Yeah, virtually anything you can find down there that's war. Like, I mean, he even has a thing that has like the different tanks we've used throughout years and like all the way up to like the more modern Abrams tanks. But like, you'll see the Shermans and all that on there too. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool stuff that he's got down there. They put a lot of work into it. And speaking of all that, Veterans Day itself is also when the Historical Commission, you know, and American Legion Post 69, they do stuff on that as well. Mm-hmm. And Dale always does a presentation. If you've never actually gone to see one of Dale's presentations, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Dale, he's an excellent speaker, and he's also a big history buff, and especially as that would apply to veterans events. He does it for Veterans Day. He also does one for Memorial Day. And if there's another event going on that's tied to history in some way, he will probably do something for that as well.
Yeah, he will jump in and do something. And he's also been helping me pull together all of the people from our area who were killed in World War I since we're 100 years since the end of that conflict.
Yes. He's been doing a lot of projects around there. He's been looking for photos for another veteran around there. I forget which one off the top of my head. I don't have to ask him again, but they couldn't find a single photo of the person. They've been asking anyone that they knew that could find a photo to do so. Let them know, because they could really use it.
If you've got a stockpile of veteran photos, call Dale.
Yes.
At the Center City
Council. Absolutely.
He's veteran service officer. He's easily Googleable.
Mm-hmm.
I just made up that word.
And if he's not there, someone will probably know how to reach him.
Right.
You know, I mean, you'll find a way to contact him.
Call me here at the office and I'll text him and tell him to call you. What about your neck of the woods, Megan?
Well, just Googleable. Uh-huh. That will be a word in 10 years. It'll be in the Webster's Dictionary. I could see it.
Yep.
Anyways.
We say Google it and we mean search it, you know, because there's
well, I Google things up on the Yahoo all the time. But
oh, man. So Halloween related, there are dozens of activities going on. And on the October 25th edition, we have a whole Halloween page mm-hmm. dedicated to the events happening in Houston County. There's events. There's the Fall Festival this Friday for Latexo ISD. And then this weekend, you'll have to check out the paper for details. The Crockett High School is putting on events at Davy Crockett Memorial Park. And then next Wednesday, we are having trick-or-treat around the square in Crockett also. And to finish, wrap up all the fall events, Kennard ISD is having their Fall Festival on November 1st.
All Saints Day, okay. Rather than.
Huh?
That's All Saints Day. If you're of the pseudo-Catholic or Catholic light Episcopalian variety person.
Or if you watch the Boondock Sake sequel. So there you go. All
Saints Day. And it's also Dia de los Muertos.
Yes.
Yes.
Really? I was not aware of that.
You haven't ever enjoyed the sugar skulls for Dia?
The closest I've ever gotten to enjoying the sugar skulls is watching the Halloween tree when I was a kid.
Hmm. Well, we have an article all about it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't we? In the East Texan magazine that's out now?
Yes. Yes. Written by Chris Edwards.
Oh.
And designed by Amy. And it is one of the most beautiful articles in the East Texan.
Chris is not with us today because he's out singing at people in Longview.
But, singing at people.
Singing at people. He has his singer-songwriter thing that he does. In addition to being an editor, he does that.
Many, many talents.
Yeah, yeah.
He should go on American Idol.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
It was better when Simon was on there.
I've done a lot of interviews like with the Bellamy brothers mm-hmm. and Asleep at the Wheel, and we've talked a lot about what those competition shows have done to the music business, particularly that the Bellamy's told me a story that they had their record label, they said forced. I don't know how you force a big 6 foot tall somebody to do something, but that they had to use one of the people from, I don't think it was American Idol. I think it was one of the other well-known shows that probably is not still around, but they had to use them for an opening act. But the guy did not have enough time to really develop skills on how to grab your audience and stage presence and choreography and all the things that go along with it besides just a great voice. He had a great voice, but he lost the crowd so bad as the opening act went on that one band member at a time was kind of merging into the show, and they just ended him early before all of their fans left because he was inexperienced. So he said, you know, all that time that you have to spend slouching through the dive bars and honky-tonks, it's also a very valuable training exercise, right?
Yeah, stage presence is sometimes more valuable than raw talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just on my opinion in Hollywood, mm-hmm. for Carrie Underwood, American Idol winner a couple of years ago, she sang at the American Music Awards, and it was flawless.
Well, and it's really not about being able to stand up and belt out a flawless song.
No.
It's in American Music Awards. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an audience of professionals who are going to be courteous to you.
Right.
But then, when you're at the Broken Spoke in Austin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta be.
Well, I was gonna say Taylor Swift opened the show, and I am a huge Swiftie,
mm-hmm.
but she did not sound as good as Carrie, but she gave a heck of a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, anyways, kind of what you were saying.
Oh, okay.
It's about that stage presence.
Hey, I'm gonna let you finish,
more than
but
talent. Yeah. Whatever. Sorry, I'm a huge Hollywood fan.
No, you're good. You're a Swiftie. Valerie, I did want to mention there are actually two other things going on this weekend in San Jacinto County that mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure were known. We do have a fall festival this mm-hmm. Saturday, mm-hmm. Which is going to be at the Old Town Cold Spring. And at the Shepherd Library, they're going to be having movie night at the park. They're going to be showing Hocus Pocus.
Oh, cool. So, that's a good movie.
Yes. They actually are celebrating 25 years of that movie.
Wow.
Hmm.
They were advertising that on Freeform because my mother always leaves that on. So whenever I'm turning on the TV, that's usually what's on.
Okay.
So that's how I know.
Well, I may have to screen that. I will have my whole grandchild army this weekend.
And speaking of fall festivals, Apple Springs ISD is having theirs tomorrow.
Okay. So on Thursday, are you saying on Thursday?
Yes.
Because we're doing this on Wednesday, but people aren't going to be able to listen to it on Wednesday.
Okay.
So if you're listening to this right after it comes out, race to Apple Springs.
Yes. Run as fast as you can.
And we're sorry we couldn't get this stuff to you sooner.
Yes. Well, if you're a dedicated reader of the Groveton News or the Trinity Standard, I'm sure you already know.
Absolutely.
Apple Springs actually has an app.
Yes,
if you're ever worried about what's happening in Apple Springs or that you're missing the social event of the year in Apple Springs, you can have that app on your phone and you'll know and won't be caught by surprise.
And God willing, you can say you bob for apples in Apple Springs.
Oh, man. That's something to put on your resume.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, me and the little girl army, and probably not the little boys, because the boys are about to be 1 and 2. And I had girls, but my 2-year-old grandson makes sure I get my steps in.
Good.
Because like Sunday, he came over after church, and I have a picture of him where he's at the front door, and he's turning to look over his shoulder at me like, Muddy, you know I'm about to run out this door. He was actually a very calm, but he's fast and runs, and he does not care that he's about to get in trouble. But we're going to be going out looking for the giant ghost fish.
Are y'all dressing up?
Always. No.
Yes. I'm going to go as Clark Kent if he let himself go.
Nice.
That's why I tell everyone every year. Because
I'm frequently Lois Lane, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been called that because my hair curls, and I sometimes get the Superman hair curl up front.
Oh, yeah, you kind of have a little...
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm just going to go as...
So we just... That's amazing.
Let himself go.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go as Venom.
Venom?
Because Ed Brock was a photographer in Spider-Man 3.
But he was also a tabloid writer in the comics.
Exactly, so boom. That's so perfect. I can be Ed Brock.
We're frequently the alter egos for superheroes. Wasn't even the Green... Was the Green Lantern... Who did they introduce in Spider-Man 2? Was he the...
Green Goblin.
Green Goblin. Worked.
Well, he was the first Spider-Man. Spider-Man 2 was Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, Dr. Octopus was a scientist. Green Goblin was Norman Osborn, who owns Oscorp. And was... So his stuff was a super soldier serum type thing.
Megan's eyes are glazing over.
We've opened a can of worms. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Megan just likes James Franco.
I know that's... He's a babe.
Don't tell my husband. Not bad to look at. But meanwhile, back at the Lake Livingston State Park...
Yeah, I got you. Busted.
They are, you can trick or treat at State Park. And park rangers are going to have candy in their trucks. So you can just hang out on the road and wait for a park ranger to come by and ask for candy. Ask nicely. They carry guns. They said there's going to be, starting at 2 o'clock on Saturday, there will be a miniature pumpkin decorating program.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, it's BYOP.
Bring
your own pumpkin. And that'll be at the park store. You have to be 8 or under. So fortunately, I have a few of those.
My little boy and I decorated a Spider-Man pumpkin last week. We got like this little orange or yellow squash, but he thought it was a yellow pumpkin. We spray painted it red, and then when it dried off, we put like Spider-Man arms and Spider-Man face on it.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
We'll have to get a picture of it.
I would like to do that with a Venom pumpkin. Like, make it black and do the white eyes and like put something inside of it, the mouth, and make it look like the tongue is coming out.
Yes, that'd
be awesome.
I need to do that. Great idea, Jacob.
All right. Well, if you're still out at the state park at 4 o'clock, wear your costume, and they're going to have a costume contest. Winners get a fishing pole that they can use in the giant ghost fish of Lake Livingston.
Ghost fish of Lake Livingston.
Ghost fish.
How do you know you caught it? It's a ghost.
I don't know.
If it's a ghost, wouldn't that mean it's not corporeal? Because then your line would just pass right through it.
I don't know. It sounds like it's very locale fish. So I wonder if you could eat fried ghost fish, if that would... bump your cholesterol up. Anyway, we'll find out from Joel Jensen on Saturday and report back later.
I'm sure the weight loss would be scary.
Scary weight
from
loss.
From eating low-cal fish.
Yeah.
Low-cal ghost fish.
Well, my two Dallas grandkids love to fish, so they will. I'm sure they'll be out there. What else is going on? Trail for Treats is going to be Wednesday. No, we have a Trail for Treats Saturday in Onalaska Wednesday Trunk or Treat at Central Baptist Church right here in Livingston. Everywhere you go, Livingston Community Concert's going to have the Malpass Brothers. They opened for Merle Haggard for years and years, decades and decades. So what else is going on? What are we going to go ahead, Megan.
Sorry, a murder trial is going on in Houston County.
Do tell.
Well, right now the jury is deliberating.
Oh. Wow. So, like right now? Right now?
Wow. Alton Porter, reporter for the Houston County Courier, is waiting.
Okay.
To see what happens. So hopefully they'll come back with something tonight. If not, follow along on our Facebook at HC Courier to keep up with the latest update.
Okay. Well, who got murdered?
His name was Frank Thomas in January 13, 2016. So there's two guys who were saying that murdered him. The first guy got 61 years. Leonard Talisano. Sorry if I butchered that. It's Italian. Got sentenced in July for 61 years. And this other guy is a 34-year-old Brandon Hill, who's on. And that was, he's 34. That kind of hit me because I'll be 32. Yeah. And just, I don't know, like, don't put yourself in situations.
Right. Well, I have to say, from all my years of running, chasing after murderers at the courthouse, they're mostly y'all's age.
Yes, sad but true.
From 17 to mid-30s, 40s, everybody kind of starts to calm down a little bit. And
just remember that if you ever hit us with one of those really, like, grueling assignments, most murderers are our age.
So you don't want to be permanently on the livestock show beat. I think that's about the most grueling thing we do.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But if you ever get back at somebody, play some of the livestock show beat.
I think I'm still fatigued from that.
I love what FFA and 4-H do for kids. Absolutely. I love it. I can go into a meeting and tell you if that person was in FFA or 4-H by how they run the meeting. It is a wonderful program for kids to learn how to manage a project, stay on task, something that my era of kids in school didn't learn. We could memorize and we could take notes and we could all that. But as far as somebody handing us a project, if you weren't in FFA, that was your only chance to do that. But some of the things that kids do for History Day now and things like that, I think it's a lot more like real life.
If I have kids that do 4-H and they want to do like horses and chickens and stuff, we're keeping all of the animals. I will not sell them.
Well, I'll share a secret with you. Most of the time you arrange your kids' buyers or you bring two or three people who will buy your kid's animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they will let you keep your animal.
Okay, good.
I had to buy chickens one time for a coworker's kid that they had raised chickens. And usually for chickens, since their longevity is a little fragile, it was Lee Coy Smith, the former editor of the Groveton News, Beau raised chickens and I had to buy them. And Beau had actually, rather than raising one or two pens of chickens, he had raised like 30 chickens. So they auctioned and I bought them and we had the check. And the next day that someone knocked on my door with 30 chickens.
I'll take them. I did a story in San Jacinto about the chickens that were coming and the kids were picking them up. I walked away from that interview with two chicks.
Well, these chickens were already, they were somewhere between alive and ready for Colonel Sanders. So
I'll take them all.
Colonel Sanders is my hero.
Is he?
No, not really. I've never actually eaten at KFC, so.
Oh, man.
I don't eat chicken.
I do like Chick-fil-A, though.
Yes, Chick-fil-A is good. Yes.
All right. Well, one thing we had talked about
okay.
is kind of staying with the spooky theme.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
We have kind of researched around, and I haven't found very many ghost stories that kind of directly involve our area. But we did cover a few in the East Texan Magazine. Mm-hmm. And folks on the east side of our universe know Judge Haney and her husband, Sam, and Judge Judy, as I call her. But when they lived down around the Crosby area, they had some weird, weird, weird experiences at their house.
What happened?
Well, their house was built over somebody's grave.
Ooh. Like just one person or multiple?
It's a couple, a husband and wife that were actually on their property. But that someone had basic, you know, problem that we have nowadays. People are developing subdivisions right and left. Mm. Well, this one was built over a graveyard that had long been used by African-American cemetery. And a lot of these, it started out that it was descendants of freed slaves and they just kept using the cemetery for a long time until The train came through and that particular community of folks moved about 14 miles away.
So I'm guessing sometime after that, Steven Spielberg visited and said, you know what? This really inspires me to make a film. I'm going to call it Poltergeist.
It's very similar because when they did uncover the grave, that was when they were putting in a swimming pool. And
that's creepy.
Yeah. They were living in the house. Judy taught school and worked days, of course. Sam worked for an airline and he worked nights, which meant Judy and the dog were home by themselves. As he wanted to put in the pool as a present to her, an anniversary present, I think. Anyway, we talk about it. It's in the story, but they were digging or something. But anyway, they came across some bones and the bones had a wedding ring.
It's funny you mention that. You know, when you talk about Poltergeist, you know, there's the scene where the girl is in the pool. You know, those are supposedly actual dead bodies that in there.
Yeah. Unless they were like bodies, you know, people do donate their body to for medical research and stuff like that. So unless they acquired them, something like that. But actually, when you die, it's pretty, there's a pretty rigid set of steps that follow.
I would imagine so, which is why that was what surprised me about it. I was like, I would not think they would get away with that. But apparently, from what I read, it's an urban legend. I'm going to look into that now.
Okay. So. That's your assignment. Because I can just tell you from my EMS days, you know, if you die in Polk County from the time somebody that you either go in a normal, like in a hospital and it's an attended death until you have your funeral, it's a pretty supervised process. You can't walk up and get somebody's body.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would figure. So I would have to look into that if that, it's funny because I would agree with you normally that it would be an urban legend, but I'm going to look it up again. But for some reason, I just didn't remember that. Apparently, no, that was actually true that they did that. And like, it was very big controversial thing.
But that would be very anti, from the Jewish perspective for Stephen King, that would be very unclean. So I can't see him.
Well, he was the producer. He was not the director.
But
himself.
I think he hangs around on the set, though.
He does. But I mean, I'm saying I don't know exactly who all.
I just think, if somebody told him, hey, I'm going over here to UCLA Medical School, see if I can't drag off a couple of cadavers, he would say, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, again, I'll look it up. We'll see. All right, report in later. I'll report it next week and, you know. And
we're skipping next week.
Oh, that's right. We are.
In 2 weeks, you can report. That'll give you next week to research it.
Folks, it's Halloween. And if you've never been downtown Livingston when Central Baptist is having trunk or treat, it's like the Super Bowl. There's no parking. There's small children.
That was the NFL and NBC theme.
Oh, OK.
Sunday Night Football.
Foosball. Oh,
I don't watch football. So.
What's football?
Jason just had a stroke and fell on the floor.
It's a sport they play like in Europe, like every nation that's not United States, where it's like they have a little soccer ball. You know, we call it soccer, but they call it football. That's football.
I can see his heart pounding from here.
Yes. I like the other football too.
You know,
I'm not really big on soccer, honestly, but then again, I'm not really big on
sports. He looks like y'all just talked about his mama. But
well, speaking of our version of football, the Groveton Indians have their homecoming game on Friday.
Awesome.
And they need to win this one to stay alive in the playoff race. They're 0-2 in district right now. But so is Deweyville. They play on Friday.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also a big homecoming.
Oh, yes.
Some of our good friends are going to be inducted into the Groveton Ex-Students Hall of Fame.
Yes, our illustrious football photographer. Well, and she photographs other things involving Groveton. Martha Miracle will be inducted. Martha.
Is her last name really Miracle?
It really is.
Yes. But it's M-E-R-I-C-L-E.
Martha Miracle.
Yes.
You cannot have a more perfect name.
No. Yeah. I'm going to ask, is she married? There's a reason I'm asking.
Yes.
So her husband is Mr. Miracle from DC Comics. Just throwing that out there.
Even more impressive, Alton Miracle was for many, many years the maintenance guy for Groveton ISD. He can fix anything.
Nice.
He's a miracle worker. So,
but most people don't know him by Alton.
They know him by Pig.
Yes.
Yes. And speaking of Groveton, something spooky happened when last month their Gator utility vehicle disappeared and made a trip up to Lufkin. But
the Gator got captured.
Yes, it was.
Did Tiger go get it?
No, it was recovered by the Lufkin PD. And the guy who made the Gator disappear from Groveton was arrested on a different charge, but then he confessed to stealing it.
Oh, man. So. Well, I'm glad Groveton got their Gator back.
Me too.
The Indians need Gators.
Yes, they do. They just don't need gators to bite them, though.
No.
No. You bite the gators. Gators are good eating.
Yes.
So, talking about Halloween, do y'all believe in ghosts? Like, on a personal level?
No.
Nope. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I'll put it to you that way. Yes. Yeah. That's about it.
And I ain't afraid of no ghost.
So, have y'all ever been in the room when somebody passed away?
My grandpa.
I had been in a room where my uncle, we were almost certain he had passed away, but no, he had not. But it was, that was literally the day before he died. I mean, he had like briefly stopped breathing and then started back up. But I was distinctly afraid that he had just died right in front of me.
No, I haven't.
So I do believe because I believe in an afterlife and I do believe in ghosts. And I do believe that, just as there is good, there is evil. Like in the world, like, have y'all seen The Skeleton Key?
I have not, but I do believe a lot like what you talked about because, you know, as we've talked about before, in an effort to not be in journalism, I worked with EMS and I've worked for Livingston Memorial Hospital, but I've seen a lot of people go to their reward, as a lot of the nurses said.
Yeah.
And something definitely happens. You can definitely feel that spiritual energy stopping. And it's even different when their heart stops beating, but they're kind of, you know, a little thumping on their chest and pouring out a little O2. They come back. That feels different from that permanent clinical death. Complete biological death where they're not coming back. So that's why I kind of, and I creep myself out sometimes. And I even had a patient once who, you know, you talk about the near-death experiences and stuff. And he was a profound atheist until he had a near-death experience. And then he said he was going to hell. And he described things that sounded very hellish.
Really?
He was not a warm, fuzzy patient before that. But after that, it was a nightmare because he suddenly became terrified of death and he was fighting it. But he had worked in a chemical plant for 1,000 years and smoked a lot. So he was fighting for air, fighting to not die. So he kind of in that intense Hulk thing, you release all the wrong kinds of hormones. So he even probably caused himself a little more suffering by that. Not intending to evangelize, but you know, there is a time where your state of mind definitely hurts your health.
Yeah. Well, so I have a friend that was diagnosed with cancer, stage 4, and there was a study that your frame of mind really does affect your health. Because I mean, happier people live. I mean, not all happy people live long lives, but that definitely, like, 1 year in school came every day, and it's because it was one of the happiest years versus other years I was sick and struggled. Not saying whatever. I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor.
Well, it definitely does affect, like, a chronic illness. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and how you think about pain very much affects how much pain you have.
And, you know, a lot of times your state of mind or state of feeling, like, if you're depressed, you're not going to make the good grades or perform as well in work as you will if you're in a non-depressed or happier state of mind or being.
And it's kind of self-perpetuating, right?
Yeah. So can I go back to The Skeleton Key?
You can.
So in that movie, it's about a family that practices voodoo in New Orleans, which are, I don't know, whatever. Whatever. Anyways. And so it was one of those things that the main character, Kate Hudson, it didn't happen until she started to believe in it. And I wholeheartedly believe in that, like, if you practice with darkness, darkness will come.
Yeah.
And if you practice with light, light will come. But anyways.
Yeah. You reap what you sow. And kind of like the old show me your friends, I'll show you your future. What you associate with or who you associate with says a lot of.
Yeah.
Can have its effect on you.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm not particularly. I'm very sola scriptura. And to me, it's the dead know nothing of the living. To me, that is where I don't believe in things like ghosts because that contradicts that. But, you know, I enjoy a lot of those sorts of mythos. And it was one reason why I enjoyed watching Constantine when it was on, whenever they were airing that show. And then it ended after one season. But, you know, it's that sort of thing that I do enjoy those sorts of mythos. But it's not something that I inherently believe.
I now have the opportunity to upset a lot of fans of a certain AMC show. The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Talk about the greatest contradiction known to man. I mean, if you're dead, you can't really walk. So I seriously don't think a big zombie apocalypse is going to come and take us all away. That is fake.
And so is Mickey Mouse. So.
Yes.
No, he's not.
Unfortunately. But my 4-year-old still loves Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. And I still love Walking Dead.
Wow.
I have not watched The Walking Dead, honestly.
I haven't, but
when I was in Mount Pleasant, my main reporter in Mount Pleasant, that's kind of her full-time job is being that whole fandom thing that surrounds it. I mean, she is somewhere like in Ohio in a haunted house dressed up like a zombie because she's like one of the main cheerleaders for their fan universe for The Walking Dead.
Speaking of Mount Pleasant, we had a pretty eerie situation involving Mount Pleasant and Center.
What was up with our internet up there, dude?
Exactly. The internet and Center went down, and I had to go to the lobby of...
You sat in McDonald's waiting on my pages a lot.
Yes, I sat in McDonald's waiting on her pages. And prior to that, I was in like the Super 8 Motel...
Oh, my God.
...lobby in Center, because that's the only place I could find Wi-Fi. And I was sending the Center pages. And needless to say, it was quite the headache. But we got the job done.
And y'all were a twice-a-week paper?
Yes, we were, and they were 5-day-a-week.
So lots of days Jacob didn't have to do it. Jason didn't have to do a paper. He was just Jason then.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying was not Jacob at that point?
He was not Jacob at that point. But he spent a lot of late nights every once in a while. Are you still there? Are your pages ready?
Yep. Yeah.
Because many days I was in the newsroom solo.
Yes.
I will tell you, because you're bringing up like ghost-related movies, there is actually one coming out that hits a bit close to home. I can't remember if the title of the movie is The Weeping Woman or if it's La Llorona, the legend of La Llorona. So for those of you who don't know, La Llorona was a woman who, from what I remember of the legend, she was forced by her husband to drown her own kids because he didn't want them. And... her ghost is haunting, and they say that they would tell children not to go near the rivers because she would drag them into the water and claim them for herself. And that was a story there. But yes, they're doing a movie on that. I had seen the trailer and it looked kind of creepy. Like the kids got into the car and like she was able to use her abilities to lower the window. So they were rolling them back up. Then she starts unlocking the door to get in. So they couldn't hold her out forever because she would just eventually get the doors open. It was very, very creepy in that regard.
So is that the same legend, like where we used to hang out, Jason? They had Woman Hollering Creek.
I believe so.
Yes, that's out by San Antonio.
Yes.
It's funny you mentioned that. That was actually where that came up for us because when we went to San Antonio this past.
Because they've anglicized that, you know, but it was a Spanish legend when Texaco was Spain.
Texaco. I did not. The gas station. It's like. but yeah, that's where that comes from. So yeah, because my brother saw that when we were on our way up there. We were going to stay there for like the weekend or whatever, and we were going to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and all that.
A great concert, by the way.
Yes. Trans-Siberian Orchestra is really awesome for those of you who have never been. And if you're in the Houston area, they do perform at the Toyota Center around Christmas time, and here I think it was, my gosh, I forgot where it was. I think it's where the Spurs play or something like that. I forget, but anyway,
yeah, the AT&T Center.
Okay, yeah, I think that's what it was. But yeah, anyway, we saw it passing by, and my brother was curious as to what that was all about, and then he had brought it up, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember because we talked about that when I was in like fourth grade, I think, or something like that. Because I do still remember talking about that when I was in grade school.
So you also have a story about the ghost hunter people.
Yes, when I was working for the Cleveland Advocate, we actually did have a group of ghost hunters, not the ghost hunters, but a group of
some people generic ghost
who hunt ghosts. Yes,
paranormal investigators.
They were checking out the Cold Spring Jail, and like I said before, I'm the skeptic, but I mean, I was there with Rebecca Hammond, who is part of the San Jacinto County Historical Commission. They let them stay the night there. Mm-hmm. Rebecca had her brother there, and her brother, as she has told me, is very, he's really into all that. Rebecca was more like me, though. We're very skeptical, and they had set up equipment to help them find ghosts, as they put it. Mm-hmm. They had, I think you call them dowsing rods, but like basically, this was actually where I was a skeptic, because they said what they do is you hold the rods in your hand, and they're on like little swivels so that they move, whatever, and you ask a question and the rods will move to the left or right. Well, I held them just to test them out. You know, I never gave any indication that I was a skeptic. And I was just like, you know, is someone here? You know, and I barely, like, slightly adjusted my hand, and they would move, and I was like, my gosh, this is way too easy for me to fake. So,
yeah. So did they do the thing with iPhone? You know, there's an app for that now.
No, I did not, but I mean, I'm not surprised, because that's pretty much how apps were being advertised. If you want to do this, there's an app for that, you know, so.
Because some of those guys did also come to the Gonzales County Jail, where some of Jason and I are not, had never lived together. We've lived in the same places at the same, at different times a lot. So, Gonzales has a jail that's maybe older than the Cold Spring Jail.
Really? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty old.
Yeah. Man. It goes back to, if you've ever heard of what's the ballad of, well, John Wesley Harden, who is from Corrigan area, Moscow.
Yes.
He practiced, after he got out of prison, he practiced law in Gonzales. And this was the jail at that time to give people a more accurate perception. And then he should have stayed in Gonzales, because when he went to El Paso, somebody finally shot back and killed him. But
it's funny you mention that, because apparently my family's related to John Wesley Harden.
Okay. Well,
interestingly enough,
he practiced law and he was good buddies with the sheriff there. And anyway, this was the jail. And they had the paranormal investigators there, and I had a pretty creepy experience there.
Really?
Yeah, because in the center of the jail, they call it the runaround, and they would let the sheriff and his family lived at the jail, so there's kind of a house on one side of it, and then they have cells, but in the, not the ground floor, but the second floor up is a runaround deal. I think it is. But anyway, there's all kinds of graffiti, and some of it is kind of painted on, and some of it's like chiseled in with a knife or some kind of object. Don't know who thought it was a good idea to let inmates have sharp things, but it's there anyway. So there's all kinds of initials and just jail graffiti all over the place.
Interesting.
And so the historical commission there has ghost tours, and they have these folks in, and they set up the red light. They turn all the lights down. They have all kinds of things. They take a little mini mag flashlight and mostly unscrew it and ask questions to the ghost, and the ghost would blink the light once for yes, two for no kind of thing.
You know, I've been on one ghost tour that was up at Galveston, and suffice to say, we left early. We're not very impressed with it.
But there's some creepy places. I mean, have you ever had that experience where and it may just be just plain old fear when somebody's talking to you and you get the shivers down your neck and your arm hair standing up?
Well, I mean, that was part of the problem. The tour guide was not very.
Ah.
She was trying a little too hard, I think.
Okay.
But some of the ghost stuff was not very scary in general. I only distinctly remember one story, and it was like. Like, it was just, it was goofy. It wasn't really, like, ghost stories are supposed to scare, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to be goofy. If I wanted a goofy ghost story, I'd watch a Casper movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, my experience there, it was not goofy. Because you've got all of these things, and since we try to appeal to a fairly family audience, one of the largest names on the wall here is a nickname for Richard. And I had the iPhone app for the ghost hunters. And when all the lights, I had not paid attention to it, but when all the lights are out and they're asking different questions, and I'm holding the ghost hunters app, and it's kind of has a green light that circles around like a radar, but just random words pop up. And it's dark, so it's a doubt that the iPhone camera could pick up anything. Plus, I was holding it parallel to the floor. So this guy's talking, and I'm getting cowboy and different words that kind of fit in with the kinds of folks that would be in have spent some time at the jail. And this nickname for Richard keeps coming across the screen, and we go on. And then at the end of the night, we turn all the lights back on, and directly behind the back where I'm standing is that nickname in letters about 4 inches tall. And it's like, So I'm not believing that there's a ghost standing next to me, but it's hard to explain.
Well, I mean, we were talking about that, and we were discussing other stories, and one I'd like to bring up is the Jersey Devil. And the Jersey Devil, it was one that in the early 1900s, and then by that I mean like around 1909, they were actually closing down schools because they were citing this ghoulish creature. And Its backstory is really interesting. It was in like the 1700s. There's the Leeds family, and the wife was pregnant with her 13th child, and she cursed it. You know, so I mean, we already know 13 is an unlucky number, mm-hmm. of course. She cursed it because, you know, she said it was surely going to be the devil, and it was born, and it turned into this very ghoulish creature. Well, then in the early 1900s, there's this creature that's flying around the New Jersey area, and so they closed down schools, but there were even people that are offering rewards for it. There were zoos offering rewards to get this creature, and naturally you also have, you know, it almost sounds like a movie, that you have people that turn in the fake animals or whatever, you know.
Oh, the chupacabras.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like what I mean is like they, like the thing is, like the way it was described, like they might like take a kangaroo and dress it up to look more like the Jersey Devil or whatever.
Jackalopes.
But it is an interesting story because it had some repercussions in that there were people that were so afraid they shut down schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do I believe it's a devil of some sort? No. But I do find it interesting that whatever it was scary enough to have people react to it in such a way. Mm. You know, wow. Keep your kids home, you know.
Well, I hope it wasn't a disabled child or something like that that sparked that whole story.
No. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Because, I mean, we used to have the, that old movie Freaks, it kind of displays what we used to do to
disabled kids. Children.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like.
Go ahead, Megan.
Sorry, we have breaking news for Houston County.
Okay. The jury, you have a verdict.
We do have a verdict. Awesome. Alton, he just sent me, he said the jury in the trial of Brandon Hill just returned a verdict of not guilty.
Wow.
Which really? Is huge. But they did find him, the 12-member jury of 9 women and 3 men. They deliberated for 5 hours, and they sentenced him. Hold on. Sorry.
So he's not guilty of murder, but they find him guilty of...
of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Okay.
So what happened...
So he hurt him real bad, and then he died.
But well, he... Okay, I was just talking to Alton about the case. So the man had gotten out of... The man that was murdered had gotten out of the truck, and they say there was a baseball bat. They're having, like, some argument. And he had a baseball bat, and they were saying with Leonard that just got murdered. Mm-hmm. Got found guilty. So this fellow was coming out, and they were facing the back of him, and they said that Leonard killed him. Mm-hmm. And they said with Brandon that he had shot a rifle in the air. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of his defense, and saying that Leonard had shot the guy. But it was all... And the other, but Leonard's people were saying it was in self-defense because the guy that got murdered was going to grab the bat, but he hadn't put his hands on the bat. So anyways, so it's just shocking for Houston County.
Yeah, because, I mean, you really, there's not a lot of trials that end with a not guilty verdict.
And I'm sorry if that didn't make sense because I write better than I talk.
Go visit her website online and they will have all the deets on there. But, mm-hmm.
And a full story will be in the...
So he's not guilty of murder. Still going to spend a lot of quality time in the Texas prison system.
That's so interesting. Sorry. It's fascinating.
I'm a true crime junkie. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they haven't, like, obviously given his sentence yet. Right. But I'm curious, what would that, like...
Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, you still have 5 to 99. Not a lot of difference of punishment between those two.
By 5 to 99, you mean years.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So 99. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So
they can go anywhere in that range. If they go less than 10 years in one day, he can get probation.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
So I need to go break this on Facebook.
Okay. Bye-bye, Megan.
Bye.
So have we kind of covered the waterfront? Scary crap everywhere. Excuse me. But it's...
I think we've got everything as general. I mean, I can't...
Ghost fish in Lake Livingston. Haunted everything in San Jacinto County.
Bobbing for apples in Apple Springs.
Bob for apples in Apple Springs. Go to the Indians homecoming. Livingston Lions homecoming Friday night.
Haunted jail and the fall festival.
Yeah. Livingston is got high hopes. I know in the Thursday paper we did say that they were going to crown the queen before the game. Kind of thing we've been doing in Livingston. This time, however, we...
Okay, I'll stop being a jerk.
The homecoming court and will be introduced at halftime because of a UIL rule saying that we have to allow the opposing team to stay on the field until 6:45 or so. Until like it's like 15 minutes prior to game time. So that would be a really rushed homecoming ceremony, 15 minutes. So they're going to punt and come back at halftime. But there's plenty of cool stuff to do before the game. Food, fun, tailgating. Come brag to all your classmates how great you've done. I'll be over there with my sisters who are legally required to be there. Be safe on Halloween. Absolutely. Don't be a clown.
Yeah, please don't.
Oh, that's right. We were going to talk about clowns.
We're going to talk about clowns, but we've already been going about 51 minutes and 47 seconds. But, roughly. So. But
Just don't be a clown.
But so, you know, kind of use your use some common sense and caution. If you do, be scary that in today's climate, maybe not everybody is in a state of mind that's conducive to severe scares. If you walk into the front of the Enterprise with a suspicious package anytime in the next week or so, we're not going to take it funny.
No.
Don't be a clown. Don't threaten people. Just have a little bit, a tiny scare and a good time. Be safe. And we'll see you in 2 weeks unless our behind the scenes wizard decides to actually break this into two episodes. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.